got a sprain or an itch, pain that's swelling or twitch, call up and ask me, Dr. Lasky. I call up and ask me, Dr. Lasky.
Welcome to another edition of Hey Doc. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, Medical Director and Physician at Southside Medical Center, right here in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm your host for the next half hour. With me today is my co-host and wife, Carmen Lasky, a certified EMT. Together, we hope that you will find the show informative, educational, as well as entertaining.
No milk today, my lover's gone away.
Till it happens to you. You don't know how I feel, how I feel.
The first sound clip you heard was one from the 1960s hit song sung by Peter Noon of the group Herman and the Hermits. The song's about a love that was lost, kind of a common theme of many songs. It was written by a man by the name of Graham Gouldman, and was inspired by Gouldman's father, who had been to visit a friend of his and noticed the milk bottle on the doorstep with the note, "No milk today." When he asked, "What's so interesting about milk?" his father said, "It's nothing to do with milk. There's nobody in the house. The house is empty. The love has left the house." Now, the second clip is from the song "Till It Happens to You," sung by Lady Gaga, from the 2015 documentary The Hunting Ground, dealing with campus rape, who has just been hospitalized for fibromyalgia and recently revealed to the public that she also suffers from PTSD.
So, we thought that it is fitting to talk about both PTSD and fibromyalgia and related sadness that can and does accompany both chronic medical problems. So what exactly is fibromyalgia?
Yes, what is it?
Well, to be exact.
I can't really be exact. Fibromyalgia happens to be the second most common condition affecting bones and muscles.
Yet, it's often misdiagnosed and certainly misunderstood. Its classic symptoms are widespread muscle, joint pain, and fatigue.
A combination of medication, exercise, managing stress, and healthy habits could ease the symptoms. But a cure, well, it's simply just out of our reach.
Unfortunately, the symptoms are often severe enough that you can't live a normal life without treatment.
First, we need to know what causes it. And unfortunately, doctors aren't sure what causes it. But some think it's a problem with how your brain and spinal cord process pain signals from your nerves. You're more likely to suffer from fibromyalgia if you're a woman, have another painful disease such as arthritis or an infection, have a mood disorder like anxiety or depression, were physically or emotionally abused, or have PTSD.
It is also more common if you rarely exercise or if the other family members have it.
We already told you about the symptoms. These can be summed up in the sentence, "You ache all over."
Common symptoms include muscle pain, burning, twitching, or tightness, low pain threshold or tender points, draining fatigue, and trouble concentrating and remembering.
That's sometimes called fibrofog. Also, insomnia or not sleeping well and feeling nervous, worried, or depressed are symptoms of fibromyalgia.
In the past, doctors would check 18 specific points on a person's body to see how many of them were painful when pressed firmly.
And before that, many or most physicians did not even recognize fibromyalgia as a specific disease. This posed a problem for many, as they could not get insurance companies to pay for the diagnostic tests or the treatments.
Newer guidelines don't require a tender point exam. Instead, a fibromyalgia diagnosis can be made if a person has had widespread pain for more than 3 months with no underlying medical condition that could cause the pain.
Fibromyalgia can still be called a diagnosis of exclusion, meaning that the diagnosis is made when all other causes are eliminated.
There are blood tests that should be done in patients with symptoms of fibromyalgia. But again, these are really to eliminate the other causes.
These include a complete blood count, erythrocyte sedimentation rate, cyclic citrullinated peptide test, rheumatoid factor, and thyroid function tests.
Among other things, the CVC or complete blood count helps diagnose causes such as infections and anemia.
The ESR, or erythrocyte sedimentation rate, has been used for many years to help detect inflammation associated with conditions such as infections, cancers, and autoimmune diseases. Now, as far as cyclic citrullinated peptide test, anticyclic citrullinated peptide, or anti-CCP, is an antibody present in most rheumatoid arthritis patients, and levels of this anti-CCP can be detected in a patient through a blood test.
A positive anticyclic citrullinated peptide test result can be used in conjunction with other blood tests like rheumatoid factor, imaging tests, and physical examinations to reach a rheumatoid arthritis diagnosis.
And thyroid tests look for abnormalities in thyroid gland production of the thyroid hormones. Those are the chemicals that control our metabolism, among other things. So what treatments are available now for fibromyalgia sufferers?
You can use over-the-counter pain relievers such as acetaminophen, Tylenol, ibuprofen, which happened to be Advil, Motrin, IV, or naproxen, sodium, Aleve.
Your doctor might suggest a prescription pain reliever.
Strange as it may sound, antidepressants such as Cymbalta and Cervella may help ease the pain and fatigue associated with fibromyalgia.
Doctors may prescribe amitriptyline or the muscle relaxant cyclobenzaprine to help promote sleep.
Another treatment that you might not expect to help are the anti-seizure drugs. Medications designed to treat epilepsy are often useful in reducing certain types of pain. Gabapentin or Nurantin is sometimes helpful in reducing fibromyalgia symptoms.
Pregabalin, under the brand name Lyrica, was the first drug approved by the Food and Drug Administration to treat fibromyalgia. Of course, a variety of different therapies can help reduce the effect that fibromyalgia has on your body and your life, such as physical therapy, massage therapy, occupational therapy, and counseling. Even alternative medicine therapies, such as meditation, yoga, and acupuncture, have been popular in recent years, especially with people who have chronic illnesses, such as fibromyalgia.
Several of these treatments do appear to safely relieve stress and reduce pain, and some are gaining acceptance in mainstream medicine. But many practices remain unproven because they haven't been adequately studied.
Now we get to medical marijuana as a treatment for fibromyalgia. There have, unfortunately, been very few positive studies undertaken that have shown that medical marijuana has been successful in treating fibromyalgia. However, it does not end there.
In a 2014 online survey of over 1,300 fibromyalgia patients conducted by the National Pain Foundation, a different result was found.
As we mentioned earlier, there are very few medications approved for the treatment of fibromyalgia. These now include Cymbalta, Lyrica, and Cervella, but most who have tried them say they, well, don't work. The National Institute of Health estimates that 5 million Americans suffer from fibromyalgia.
In the survey, only 40% of those who tried Cymbalta said that it helped. Only 8% said it was very effective, and 32% said it helped a little.
How about Lyrica? 61% said it didn't work at all. Only 10% said it was very effective, and 29% said it helps a little.
Finally, only 10% who used Avella said it was very helpful, and 22% said it helped a little.
Although few in the study had tried marijuana, those who did said it was far more effective than any of the FDA-approved drugs.
62% who had tried cannabis said it was very effective at treating their fibromyalgia symptoms. Another 33% said it helped a little, and only 5% said it did not help at all.
Also in the study, 45% felt that their family and friends do not take their fibromyalgia seriously. And nearly half said their fibromyalgia symptoms began at a relatively early age, between 18 and 34. Now, 44% said it took 5 or more years before they were even diagnosed with fibromyalgia.
Remember, all of those in the study were fibromyalgia sufferers, and 95% of those in the study were females.
You may have noted that it didn't yet include the opioids in the regimen of treatment for fibromyalgia. This is because several studies had failed to show improvement in fibromyalgia patients' lives beyond what they get from non-opioid treatment.
It is interesting to note that across the country, physicians are using opioid medications as part of their regimen to alleviate the pain symptoms of their fibromyalgia patients, even though the general belief in the medical community is that opiates are not terribly effective against fibromyalgia.
But research conflicts with the anecdotal evidence. One of the best ways to use opioids in fibromyalgia is to use them not as continuous chronic treatment, but as breakthrough medications when there's a flare-up. Well, it's time for our mid-show break. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky with Carmen Lasky, and this is Hey Doc. This is a great time to tell you about Southside Medical Center. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, and I've been the medical director and physician at Southside Medical Center for the past 29 years. We're located at 3604 Southside Boulevard, just 2 blocks south of the Beach Boulevard intersection between the Pottsburg Post Office and the Tulsa Welding School. We will treat your pains, sprains, and strains. Our practice emphasizes chronic pain management as well as anti-aging medicine. We also have an office-based substance treatment program for those who need it. Southside Medical Center is open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. If you would like to make an appointment or ask any questions about Southside Medical Center, please call us at 641-4411. That's 641-4411. Southside Medical Center, where your health is our primary care. Welcome back to the Hey Doc Show. I'm here with my co-host, Carmen Lasky, and I'm Dr. Harold Lasky. Now, we've highlighted fibromyalgia in the first half of the show since it came to the public's attention after Lady Gaga was hospitalized for it recently. She just happens to also be promoting her new Netflix documentary, 5'2", which apparently highlights the entertainer's struggle with chronic pain and disease.
She has also revealed in the past that she suffers from PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, which is a mental health problem that some people develop after experiencing or witnessing a life-threatening event, like combat, a natural disaster, a car accident, or sexual assault.
I'm fighting my own war, and it's raging deep inside of me. When no one else has ever heard of, when no one else will ever see. It's from a fear I've never known, and each day I face it on my own. Conflict inside, I feel that I may never win. When attack comes from a memory then.
What you just heard was a clip from a song called War Within, PTSD song, words and music written by Tom Byrne. Many people think that PTSD is only related to soldiers, but as the definition shows, it can affect many others due to causes other than the trauma of war and battle. It's normal to have upsetting memories, feel on edge, or have trouble sleeping after this type of event.
At first, it may be hard to do normal daily activities, like go to work, go to school, or spend time with people you care about. But most people start to feel better after a few weeks or months.
If it's been longer than a few months, then it could be PTSD. For some people, PTSD symptoms may start later on, or they may come and go over time. So who develops PTSD while others don't?
First of all, PTSD can happen to anyone. It is not a sign of weakness. A number of factors can increase the chance that someone will have PTSD, many of which are not under the person's control.
For example, having a very intense or long-lasting traumatic event or getting injured during the event can make it more likely that a person will develop PTSD.
Personal factors like previous traumatic exposure, age, and gender can affect whether or not a person will develop PTSD.
Stress can make PTSD more likely, while social support can actually make it less likely. Now, the symptoms usually start soon after the traumatic event, but they may not appear until months or even years later. They also may come and go over many years. If the symptoms last longer than 4 weeks, cause great distress, or interfere with work or home life, the diagnosis may be PTSD.
There are four types of symptoms, but they may not be exactly the same for everyone, as each person experiences symptoms in their own way.
Let's start with reliving the event. This is called re-experiencing symptoms. You may have bad memories or nightmares. You may even feel like you're going through the event again. Now, you may know this as a flashback.
Next, we have avoiding situations that remind you of the event. As a PTSD sufferer, you may try to avoid situations or people that trigger memories of the traumatic event. You may even avoid talking or thinking about the event.
Thirdly, having more negative beliefs and feelings. The way you think about yourself and others may change because of the trauma. You may feel guilt or even shame. Or you may not be interested in activities you used to enjoy. You may feel that the world is dangerous and you can't trust anyone. You might be numb or find it hard to feel happy.
And finally, there is a symptom group called hyperarousal, with this you may be jittery or always alert and on the lookout for danger. Or you may have trouble concentrating or sleeping. You might suddenly get angry or irritable, startled easily, or act in unhealthy ways like smoking, using drugs and alcohol, or driving recklessly.
The way we've been talking, you may think that only adults can have PTSD. But children have PTSD too. Symptoms could be similar to those of adults, but children often have other symptoms.
Children under 6 may get upset if their parents are not close by, have trouble sleeping, or act out the trauma through play.
Children aged 7 to 11 may also act out the trauma through play, drawing, or stories. Some have nightmares or become more irritable or aggressive. They may also want to avoid school or have trouble with schoolwork or friends.
Children aged 12 to 18 have symptoms more similar to adults: depression, anxiety, withdrawal, or reckless behavior like substance abuse or running away.
What other problems do people with PTSD experience? Well, they have other problems. These include feeling of hopelessness, shame, and despair. We've mentioned that. Depression, anxiety, drinking or drug problems, physical symptoms or chronic pain, employment problems, and relationship problems, and that often includes divorce.
In many cases, treatment for PTSD will also help these other problems because they are often related.
For many people, these treatments can get rid of symptoms altogether, but others find that they have fewer symptoms or feel that their symptoms are less intense. Your symptoms don't have to interfere with your everyday activities, your work, or your relationships. So what treatments are available?
There are two main types of treatment: psychotherapy, sometimes called counseling or talk therapy, and medication. Sometimes people combine psychotherapy and medication. Psychotherapy or counseling involves meeting with a therapist.
You may never have heard of these, but for example, trauma-focused psychotherapy, which focuses on the memory of the traumatic event or its meaning, is an effective treatment for PTSD. There are different types of trauma-focused psychotherapy, such as, and Carmen's going to tell you about this,
cognitive processing therapy, CPT, where you learn skills to understand how trauma changed your thoughts and feelings. Changing how you think about the trauma can change how you feel.
Then there's prolonged exposure, that's called PE, where you talk about your trauma repeatedly until memories are no longer upsetting. Now, this will help you get more control over your thoughts and feelings about the trauma itself. You also go to places or do things that are safe, but that you have been staying away from because they remind you of the trauma.
Eye movement, desensitization, and reprocessing, EMDR, which involves focusing on sounds or hand movements while you talk about the trauma. This helps your brain work through the traumatic memories.
We can't forget medications, as they too can be very effective.
Some specific SSRIs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, and SNRIs, serotonin norepinephrine reuptake inhibitors, which are used for depression, also work for PTSD. These include sertraline, paroxetine, fluoxetine, and venlafaxine.
Many with PTSD have been prescribed the benzodiazepines and atypical antipsychotics, but these should generally be avoided for PTSD treatment because they don't treat the core PTSD symptoms. PTSD is also one of the diagnoses that is on the list of diagnoses for which Florida residents can get medical marijuana.
If you are interested, Dr. Lasky is a certified physician in the state of Florida to recommend medical marijuana to his patients. Again, if you are interested, please call at 641-4411.
Power?
Not to you.
Or you can go to the medical marijuana... Or you can go to our medical marijuana website at www.compassionatecarejacks.com. I'd like to remind our listeners that if you or someone you know has poorly treated epilepsy or other seizure disorder, a chronic muscle spasm disease, or cancer, you may be able to receive medical marijuana from physicians who have been certified by the Florida Department of Health's Office of Compassionate Use. I am one of the seven physicians who has received the certification to recommend marijuana to those Florida residents who have the qualifying medical problems that I just mentioned. For more information, you can call our office at 641-4411. We've also set up a website for our Medical Marijuana Society at www.medmarsoc.com. That's www.medmarsoc.com. Well, we've come to the end of another Hey Doc show. Carmen and I hope that you've enjoyed the past half hour and have found it interesting, educational, and maybe just a little bit entertaining.
So, from all of us here at Southside Medical Center, have a happy and healthy weekend. Goodbye.